You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump has pushed for mass deportation of undocumented immigrants. We talk about how a Trump presidency could affect the dairy industry, which relies heavily on immigrant labor.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's executive producer Erica Janik.
Look around you right now. That hat, that book, that jacket you're wearing. What do those objects say about your history? Wisconsin 101 is a statewide history project to explore Wisconsin's history through objects. First up is historian Sergio Gonzalez, sharing a poster advertising a 1904 concert from a well-known Milwaukee musician.
This object is an advertisement for a music recital performed by a man named Rafael Baez and his wife, Megan Schoen Baez. And they were performing at the Athenaeum. This was around the turn of the century in 1904. And this object is special because Rafael Baez is one of the first documented Mexicans to have made his home in Milwaukee. Rafael Baez was a classically trained musician in Mexico, and he was actually recruited by a company called the C.D. Hess Opera Company. He did a tour through Mexico, and after he finished his musical tour, the company recruited him to come to Milwaukee, and he ended up making his home here in the late 1880s. At the turn of the century, Milwaukee had a really rich and vibrant musical culture. It was actually one of the cultural hotspots for the United States because of their rich German heritage. They were actually known as the Deutsche Athens of America. And so posters like this would actually be scattered throughout the city any day of the week at the turn of the century. He was trained as a violinist. He was a composer, and he eventually became the musical director of various churches throughout Milwaukee, and he was actually the first documented Mexican origin professor at Marquette University. He was a professor of music. So he came in the 1880s, and the first real wave of Mexican migration didn't happen until the 1920s. So there was actually this gap between when he came and the next wave. The first real wave of Mexican immigrants came in the 1920s as industrial workers. They were actually initially recruited by the Fiston Vogel Tannery Company to work in tanneries, and eventually they settled throughout the city south side throughout the 1920s. In the Milwaukee Journal, the Milwaukee Sentinel carried advertisements of his work, and there were always glowing reviews of his concerts. He was well respected within the musical community, and his work was, you know, his concerts were generally covered very well by the newspapers. He decided to make his home here after touring with this opera company. So I would imagine that his experience was a pleasant one in Milwaukee, and he was able to make a life for himself and for his family to the point that he wanted to stay here for the rest of his life. Since I'm a historian, I think there's just a certain amount of significance in identifying the community that has existed and understanding that the community has been there longer than historians might imagine beyond the 1920s. I think this object is also significant because it gives us a different story for what immigration history we usually think of, especially with Mexican immigration to the city. Baez was a middle class worker who was. He was recruited to come here as kind of a skilled worker, what we would today recognize as a highly skilled worker. And he contributed a lot to the city's cultural history and the cultural background of the city. He trained a lot of musicians who went on to have careers within the city and within the country. And I think that within itself is a big contribution to Milwaukee's history.
That story is part of Wisconsin 101, a collaborative history project from historians, students, and residents to explore our history in objects. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and find us on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Our next guests have been working on a statewide history project that explores Wisconsin's history through specific artifacts and objects collected from people all over the state. Here to tell us more about the collaborative project is Sarah Thal, an associate professor of history at UW-Madison, and Adam Mandelman, Managing Editor of Wisconsin 101. Sarah, Adam, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
So where did this idea come from, telling the history of Wisconsin through these specific objects?
Well, Tom Broman, the other co-director of Wisconsin 101, who's in the History of Science department at UW-Madison, he and I were working together to improve undergraduate education in the history department and history-related fields. And we're always trying to figure out a way to make history more exciting and more relevant for our students. And we thought, well, you know, what could we do to make this more interesting? And this was also at a time when the people of Wisconsin seemed very divided, and there were a lot of questions about what is the worth of the humanities for studying and for students. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, we want to do something about Wisconsin. We want students to get excited about doing research. We have the wonderful Wisconsin Historical Society right nearby. Why not get students researching things about Wisconsin and writing things for the public? And then we thought, you know, this shouldn't just be people in Madison saying this is what the history of Wisconsin is. This should be people throughout the state telling their own histories. And what is most evocative from people's lives, that's objects. Those are things, mm-hmm. the things we hold, the things we make, the things we use and trade with each other. And so we came up with this idea of telling the history of Wisconsin through objects and asking people to tell their own histories of their own objects that they find meaningful. And then we would use those on a website and then on Wisconsin Life to try to show how the many different lives of people of Wisconsin are connected to each mm-hmm. other through the things they make, the things they buy, the things they use.
So, Adam, just looking around the studio where we're sitting, there are probably hundreds of items right here in this room, but not all of them have kind of a shared meaning or represent something larger than themselves. How do you decide what objects are worth collecting to represent Wisconsin?
That's a really good question. one of the sort of pitfalls that people run into sometimes when proposing an object for the project is we sort of tend to really emphasize things in our culture when thinking about history that are text or images, you know, so photographs or diary entries or newspapers. And so sometimes people get a little hung up on things that we sort of immediately think about in historical terms and forget that objects should tell their own stories. So we're looking for objects that are interesting and maybe visually compelling, but that also point directly to themselves, that they're not symbolizing something else. So like a monument or historical marker would be kind of a bad object, right? We want something like a bowling pin, for example, that's on our site right now that tells readers and visitors to the site all about how Wisconsin or Milwaukee became the bowling capital of America for some time, or how the bowling industry landed in northern Wisconsin in part because of the rich lumbering history mm-hmm. of the state. So usually we're looking for objects that tell their own stories rather than pointing at or symbolizing something else. And then also, while we want everyone to tell their sort of their own experiences of Wisconsin history through objects, we want, you know, a reader in Bayfield to be able to connect to a story that's from Milwaukee, or a reader in Janesville to connect to a story in La Crosse. So, you know, sometimes that old object in your grandmother's basement might have a statewide story, but not always. So we're looking for that sort of broader context sometimes too.
So you mentioned the Vulcan bowling pin. What about the Penguin hot and cold server? What is that?
So that's a really great object that was produced in the 1940s out of West Bend, Wisconsin, from an aluminum production company that began in the first decade of the 20th century. And originally, they were producing aluminum cookware and then got wrapped up in the war effort. But then when war production ceased, they started returning to housewares, and they produced this thing called the Penguin Hot and Cold Server, which it has a penguin motif. But it was used to present chilled food or hot food to guests and became actually really integral into the rise of cocktail parties and barbecuing and those other aspects of post-war American culture.
So it's a real part of cultural history.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sarah, how can people get involved with this? What's the best way for people to connect personally with the project?
There are several ways. One of the first ways is to check out our website, which is wi101.org. And you can browse the stories and just start wandering through them wherever you feel like going. And then you can... click on
there are a few areas of the website where you can add your email address and subscribe to updates. And then really importantly, there's a whole section where you can learn about how to contribute your own stories as well.
And, you know, it's great to see images of these objects, but are there going to be any events where people can actually see the objects in person?
Well, that's an interesting question. It is a virtual exhibit. So all of these objects are actually housed at their home historical societies.
Or in people's attics.
Right.
Some people write about their own objects.
Right. But we do conduct events throughout the state, reaching out to people, telling them about the project, telling them how they can get involved, and inviting them to participate in various ways of their own.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah and Adam, for joining us.
Thank you.
Sarah Thal is an associate professor of history at UW-Madison, and Adam Mandelman is the managing editor of Wisconsin 101.
Coming up, we talk about how Donald Trump's stance on immigration and deportations could affect the dairy industry in Wisconsin. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.